Season 8, Episode 4, Nipple Tweaks and Bottom Taps, The Border Between Play and Predatory Assault. When does a joking in the workplace turn into sexual harassment? Alan, Trage and Sarah share real stories of unwanted bottom taps and nipple tweaks that cross the line. Are these ever okay, they ask? This honest chat and case law reflections reveal why dismissing harmless fun fosters toxic cultures.
Track about the unanswered questions, a tale of life's trials and tribulations. I work towards better days, better pays, steering clear the trap of old ways.
Hello and welcome to the WoWork podcast, a series of playful legal dissections on the most curious and alarming events in the world of work. The podcasters Alan Girl, Trage Svetkovsky and Sarah Pazell debate how to craft a better experience of work. Sit back, relax and enjoy. And remember, none of the things we talk about today should be construed as legal advice or any other type of advice. We're just here to talk about all things related to work.
You are on a roll. We've got an extraordinary case that comes out of Queensland, and the decision was made late last year.
So it's hot off the press.
Queensland Industrial Relations Commission, a decision by Commissioner Caddy, and it involves Queensland Health and a couple of, at least two workers in Queensland Health. Now what happened was they're both men, two male workers. And one male, and Trace, you might know these facts better than me, but one all occurred at the Gold Coast University Hospital. One male made inappropriate physical contact with another male. He approached him from behind, used his two hands to grab his chest and then hug him. So hugging him from behind.
They're both employees when you say both men, so the context, they're employees, okay.
The same fellow made inappropriate physical contact with the same second person by twisting his left nipple.
Oh, okay.
He's tweaked it.
Whoa. So first, let's recap. So first one was reach around you and hold your pec muscles, shall we say. Hold your chest. Mm-hmm. Second one is we go for the nip.
Tweaked
the nipple.
Now, that's extraordinary in itself. I mean,
have you ever tweaked another man's nipple in the workplace?
That's oversharing.
No, I can say, like, I've worked for a very, very long time, and I can say without a shadow of a doubt that I have never gone for the nipple twist on a man or a woman. I've never nipple twisted a woman either.
In the workplace.
Or anyone else.
Anywhere else.
So this is just, I digress, but then you'll like this one, right? A girlfriend of mine years ago said, oh my gosh, her boyfriend who was interstate, she'd go back and forth. I'm certain he's cheating on me. I go, okay, what's happening? How do you know? She goes, all the clothes pegs are missing from the shower. They've been rearranged. I go, I'm sorry, what? And she goes, I'm looking at her. She's like, you know, the clothes pegs in the shower. I go, they've been hanging somebody else's panties? She goes, no, they've all been rearranged.
What?
That's a thing. That's a thing. Is you use clothes pegs in the... I didn't know. You see, I did the same thing. I was like, what?
Did you know about this, Trace? I didn't know about this.
You better keep your clothes pegs in order or you may be in trouble.
So if you go around to a friend's house and there's clothes pegs in the shower, you don't know what's going on.
Oh, dear.
At the workplace,
so clearly Sarah
pegs.
Knows more about this sort of stuff than
we
do.
So
this is a strange case. You're dealing with a very recent decision involving two orderlies or two health workers at the hospital, and one has affronted slash assaulted the other.
Now, it went further.
Oh.
Which is perhaps unsurprising.
Do they spend time outside the workplace together? Does that come up in the case? No, it's all in the workplace.
The male that was the subject of attention indicated that it was unwelcome attention.
Right, okay.
But the person who was engaging in the activity continued to engage in the activity and attempted to grab his genitals. And I think I read in the case that that there was 20 to 50 grabs.
20 to 50? So did the other person ever say, I'm not comfortable with this?
Well,
I mean, not that they have to be pushed to that. Yes. It's unfortunate. But
well, I can't imagine a person, male or female, being happy about having their genitals grabbed in the workplace.
Yes, well, repeated. The case was repeated.
Repetitively.
Wanted.
Mm-hmm.
There's a certain movie actor right now who's under that scrutiny again and again with more cases and more cases, with male.
It just astounds me that...
Allegedly.
That these cases are current. We're not dredging up stuff from the 70s or the 80s. We're in the 90s. So by the 90s, you know, after there was significant legislative reform around these workplace, condemning such workplace practices. But no, these are cases coming out in 2024, this century. And I guess I just can't reconcile that we're still having this type of stuff. Right. We're still talking about it.
Right.
Mm. I thought we could move beyond this and evolve.
Sexual harassment. When did that law came out in workplaces?
84.
I remember it,
And then each state, but not just that. It had always been
embedded the training, in other law.
About this is straight up sexual harassment or this is straight up, sex discrimination. This is an assault. Remember the last season, Alan, you talked about the blue care worker.
Mm.
Yes.
Those things might be occupational hazards, and clearly they were in this case. But here you have two colleagues working. So whilst that's
there were witnesses to these events, so there wasn't as if...
Unreal. I just have to know what this fellow's reason was. So
were the witnesses intervening? Like, what was the level of dissent and intervention?
Well, I don't think that they did an awful lot to... It's a limited amount of time, I suppose, to do something. But it resulted in a disciplinary action against the worker. And it got to the point where he was given a letter by Queensland Health where they said the allegations had been substantiated and they were now considering what disciplinary action would be taken, including termination of employment. And that was the point at which the fellow that had been engaging the activity appealed, and the judgment is about his appeal. Yeah. And he said the decision was unreasonable and unsubstantiated, and the decision maker goes on to say, no, it was reasonable and it was substantiated. One of the things that comes out in the judgment too is that the person who engaged in the activity just seemed to be completely out of touch, that the activity could be unwanted or unreasonable in the workplace. And the only thing that I can think that would allow him to think that is because it was two men rather than a man and a woman. But that makes no difference at all in my mind.
Well, it might buy into that culture, the tribal culture, the stuff that Sarah talks about, this idea of can't you take a joke, mate? I mean, we've talked about this in the past about, oh, come on, it was just a joke. And perhaps maybe the legacy of all of those shows from the 70s, if you recall.
Yeah, you've got to really go back to the 70s.
You know, that idea of, come on, mate, and that ochre type inappropriate behaviour, which to this day, sadly, does put certainly female construction workers off from working in that site because of the wolf whistles. And in some nations, they've actually outlawed, you can be prosecuted for a wolf whistle. So I do believe there is this culture of, well, all right, we've worked so hard to stop that type of behaviour.
Mm.
But when it comes to a man, grabbing another male's breast, that's just blokes mucking around.
Well,
a footy slap on the butt.
Footy slap on the butt.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-mm.
That kind of stuff.
I was involved in an investigation of a matter in the late 2000s where the person in charge of a work crew making bitumen roads was engaged in what was described as love taps, where he would slap his workers on their genitalia.
And on the locker room front,
sports locker room.
Considered a love tap, yeah. And there was other activity that was worse activity, but I got to interview those guys. So these are tough guys. They work in a really harsh environment out in central Queensland, and they were traumatised by it. Absolutely traumatised. And one of the big things that they were traumatised about is because they didn't complain early enough, that they just endured it and put up with it. Yeah.
Again, that wasn't that long ago, because you said it was late 2000s.
Mm.
Here we are, fast forward 10 years on, and we've still got that level of trauma.
So when I was speaking to these tough guys, big tough guys, and they had their wives with them, and they burst into tears.
Mm.
And, one of them said, I've got a daughter and I can't, but I tell her to speak up and I can't believe that I didn't speak up.
I need to pause that, because that's a lot of empathy there, because so many times you'll hear guys who are not normally subject to this in the same way say, why isn't she just complaining? Why didn't she speak up? Why didn't she take it to? And I know even for myself, I've wanted to navigate challenging circumstances, shall we say, and I wanted to just be tough enough, and I did not want it like like we just said, if we're going to have some disclosure to HR and make it this big formal thing that now makes my life more awkward too, and I'm the girl that complains, right?
Sarah, I can imagine if someone snuck up behind you and gave you the chest cuddle,
my elbow would be in the chest, my knee would be in certain stacks. That's right. That's it. But
well, I'd be calling the ambulance straight away.
Reasonable force.
He's down.
He'd be down, all right.
But it's so shocking sometimes, particularly if it comes from someone you don't expect, if it's, coming from nowhere, or if there's a power disparity, or, I'll name all those things. Like, why didn't the girl complain about getting spanked in a session with the military officer, right? The Navy, sorry. Yeah, so it is, it's and just the fact that the guy, in the instance that you're talking about, had the understanding in that moment, the light bulb aha moment of, wow, now I can see that it might be hard for my daughter to speak up, because here's how confronting it was for me. And there's an element of shame. There's an element of shame is what I hear in that.
Yes, absolutely.
He's feeling ashamed, and yet he's not responsible for that poor behavior of another. And yet in that moment, doesn't report it, he's feeling shame.
He's not reporting because he doesn't want to lose his job.
Yeah, it's awkward, it's ugly, and the fact that you could permit it, the fact that you didn't fight back quick enough, all of that comes up. And people will pull you apart.
Yeah, indeed. And because there is a reasonable amount of literature around, as I was saying earlier, about females in the construction industry being deterred or going to mining sites, and there have been inquiries, as we know, and investigations in relation to that. But these two cases that you've brought here, Alan, involving no women, but indeed two men, and that suggests that anyone can be a victim. And I'm sure there are instances where the perpetrators have been reversed as well.
I think the other thing too is that you're in a work environment. What might be acceptable behaviour in a nightclub, for example? Although I don't think nipple twisting would ever be acceptable, but
snag dragging.
What might be acceptable in a...
I knew you'd pull up the snag dragging. Alan. It's been very serious. Go on, Alan.
Yes, please don't pull up the snag dragging.
No.
So, for people that are out there that are feeling attracted to someone else in the workplace, it's a very, very dangerous situation, and you cannot do what you could do outside of work.
I think I told you that when I deferred university for a year, I've gone back and forth from Australia and the US, and this time I was in Australia, I deferred my university degree, went to Melbourne, worked a couple of jobs, and one of my evening jobs was to be a waitress in an Italian restaurant down Chapel Street in Melbourne. And if you recall, the chef, every time I walked by, slapped my butt and go, "Hey, Americana!"
Right? Hospitality industry.
Every time I walk past, big slap on the butt.
Yep, it's just occupational hazard 101, that stuff. And there's so many usually younger, you know, the waitress vis-a-vis the chef and that type of dynamic.
Yep.
You know, the bar manager with the... Yeah, with the bar workers and this level of just accepting and tolerating. So you've got that end of the spectrum. And the other end is, of course, people in a workplace, whether it's in a hospital setting or an office, and this carry-on humour. That's what I was looking for before, this carry-on humour. And that case, to me, depicts, you know, carry-on nurse. Remember that one with Sid? And all of those. And, yeah, but they were filmed in the 60s and 70s. Fast forward 50 years... And we're still having this conversation.
It's still a thing. It's still a thing. Yeah. And why? Because primal drivers. There are basic primal drivers. And sex is a thing. Like you said, you can't just assume now everybody gets it and there's a PC protocol for operating at work.
That's a great point. It's expensive. Oh, this is the law. You've got it.
No. Let's make real discussions.
We're finding cases which are factually extreme. But if I give a fairly minor example... Yes. If you have a worker who's grabbing the hand of another worker and it's unwelcome and unwanted and it continues, now that might be seen as innocent romance outside the workplace. Well, we could debate that, but let's say that was considered innocent romance outside the workplace. In the workplace, that would be completely unacceptable.
Yeah, the tapping. Because, you know, some people are generally tappy or touchy. They'll tap you on the shoulder.
The American culture. I sit and I'm like... tap your shoulder, you know. I said, although I'm not
a close talker. I wish people would do that more. You know, I have no objection to someone touching my shoulder.
Isn't that amazing? Because people are so nervous about
touching
in case they get a reaction or sued or even prosecuted.
I'm very touchy, right? Within the correct protocol or whatever you call it.
And it's always funny, like for me, where I guess I have come from that culture where people are expressive. It's almost now...
Expressive, thank you. That's what I would say.
So even now when, if it happens to me, it's like the role's been inverted. It's like I'm playing devil's advocate and going, oh, wow, imagine if they thought that I thought that I'm going to be offended. Seriously, I start to internalize. And I'm thinking, because that's what's happened now with this idea of Big Brother's watching. So for me, I almost feel nervous for the tapper, because I'm the tappee.
You're a tapper.
But you get what I'm saying? Whereas I have no issue with being tapped on the shoulder at work. Alan, stop grimacing. You know what I'm saying. At work.
If I'm reading a book,
like my hand on your shoulders, I walk past. Hey, Tracy.
But sometimes if it was someone who I don't know as well as you Alan, I'd be going, I hope they don't think that I'm upset. I start to sort of unravel.
Well, it wasn't that long ago when you come into the office and you want to say hello to someone. Tap them on the shoulder as you walk past, just to say, I'm acknowledging you know?
So now, A, I'd never do it, but B, I worry about people thinking that I could be offended if they did it to me.
So everybody at ACU's workplace, go give...
Tap.
Go give Trej a little pat on the back. Yeah. Go give him a pat on the back.
Or a random act of kindness, like a coffee or something. You know what I'm saying? All right, that was fun.
We hope you enjoyed that episode of Why Work. You've been listening to Trage, Sarah and Alan. And if you'd like to know more about some of the things we've talked about today, please subscribe and we'd be more than happy to provide you with information, names of cases and other things that may interest you. Please be aware that none of the matters we've talked about today should be construed as legal advice or any other type of advice. We're just here to talk about all things related to work. See you next time. This is a track about the unanswered questions, a tale of life's trials and tribulations. I work towards better days, better pays, steering clear the trap of old ways.